You're now listening to From the Jump, where we keep the convo going with the latest and greatest in hip-hop. With your hosts, Mr. White and Syllable. They tell it like it is.
From the Jump.
We're just going to Photoshop 50 Cent in behind you. Welcome to From the Jump, a hip-hop podcast dedicated to exploring rap songs, techniques, and substance. We're talking about all things hip-hop with my host, Mr. White. How you doing?
What up?
So welcome to the show. And today we are lucky to have Spawn on our show for From the Jump. And we're going to be talking about his career, his history as one of the early members of Atmosphere, and also his solo work. And we're going to jump into it. How are you doing today, Spawn?
Man, I'm doing good. I made it to see another day.
Beautiful. These days, post 2020, yeah. It's one of those things where you have to be thankful. So,
Man, yeah, got another chance to do it again.
Let's see. There you go. So, as part of my personal history, you know, your lyrics are embedded in how I grew up. It was hearing your voice when I was in high school, rapping on a boombox was part of my genesis for hip hop. I was walking by a classroom, and one of my friends who introduced me to a lot of hip hop that I didn't know about was playing on a boombox. And then I heard Overcast, and I heard you rapping on there, and it changed everything for me for hip hop, because I didn't realize about the underground. All I knew about was kind of the mainstream P. Diddy, flashy kind of hip hop. I didn't realize there were other genres of that, both in the mainstream and in the underground. And exposure to your music was part of how I got exposed to a broader spectrum of music for hip hop. And so that was part of what made me interested in hip hop. So I resonate particularly with your music and your career, because that was part of how I got into it.
Thank you.
So you went to high school, Slug of Atmosphere.
Yeah. Slug is 2 years younger than I. How we met is basically when I was a freshman in high school, he was in junior high, and he would get off the bus by my house, and he'd come by and flip me off, and then I'd chase him down the block. It was a daily routine. We got cool after that. He got into the high school. We shared an art class together, and we noticed we shared a lot of the same ideas. At that time, I was breaking in the early 80s. I was a popper in the 70s. Damn, that sounds like a long time ago.
So you can do the robot?
Well, not necessarily the robot. Well, when I was four or five, I was doing the robot.
Wow.
But then I learned how to pop when I was like nine years old. And then breaking came in once I got into junior high. And we formed I was in like a bunch of crews. The first crew we were called the Renegades, and then the biggest crew that I got into was called the Breaking Angels, and we got a lot of shows. We were doing competitions and stuff like that, which some of them we won, some of them
this
we
in raised. Minneapolis.
Yeah.
So you were the young Rock City crew of Minneapolis.
Pretty much. The way kids are doing it now, we weren't even touching that level of breaking.
Spinning on the head.
Well, I was doing that. I was head spinning and you know, what we called the helicopter windmill or whatever. But popping was my forte. I'm still good at that. I can get down.
Nice.
I did, you know, a little bit of dancing, you know, in Chicago, where I grew up. It's all about the footwork. So, you know, and we also did, I was in Central Illinois, so we got influenced by the St. Louis. So we used to do the chicken head. I remember we used to do the heel toe for a while. I remember, you know, like kind of that aspect of hip hop. A lot of people don't talk about the dancing, but that is a big thing, you know, that is always kind of there in the background, even nowadays, where you got people doing dances and they're not looking at it. They're like listening to the music, but the dances and the fashion and all this stuff goes hand in hand with hip hop. And that's dope that you were actually, you wasn't just MCing, but you was also b-boying. And that's like, I mean,
I was a dancer before I was even thinking about rhyming. I later became a beatboxer and I was semi good at that.
Okay.
But I mean, breaking was basically what brought the most attention to hip hop. Like when it started out, people were paying more attention to it. And I think through breakdancing kind of popularized hip hop in that sense back in those days.
So how did you move from getting flipped off by Sean Daly to working together?
I'll just flash forward a little bit. We started hanging out when we were in college, and this was like 89, and we started writing some of our first songs together and stuff like that. He was going to be my DJ at first, and you know, I was hearing him rap, and so I was like, well, let's just do this together. Let's make a crew or whatever. And so we did. We had a few different names. At first, we were called Mental Subject. Then we were called Arrhythmic Culture. I think that's kind of like we was on that native tongue vibe back then. And then finally, I scribbled out some verse I was writing that said Urban Atmosphere. And we were like, that's it. And so we were Urban Atmosphere. Now, we started doing shows around town, like a couple here and there. And then we got involved with Sadiq. And I grew up with Sadiq. Like, we were like 5 years old together, lived like roughly a block away from each other. He was also in the Breaking Angels. We broke together. But he had a group called the Abstract Pack. And there was this showcase that was going down at this place called the Cedar Cultural Center. And there was a bunch of all these groups and stuff. Me and Slug came in second, I believe, on the showcase. And that's kind of like when the whole Headshots thing started, because it was like the group called Black Hole, Full Circle, the Abstract Pack, Atmosphere, and a couple others I can't really remember, but we formed Headshots, and that was a thing from then on. Then we were performing with them.
So Headshots is like a super group.
That was the first rhyme set kind of thing. Labyrinth. And that was the group Musab was in. So we started recording and stuff. Musab's album came out first. Comparison. Yeah, that's right. Comparison. And then Overcast came out after that. And that was kind of the
dropping a record at that time. I mean, you know, you talk about 89. I was born in 88, so look, I'm a youngin' for real. So it's like, and although I recorded my first project on cassette, like, how was that? Like printing up a record. Like, what did was y'all still doing records with sleeves at that time?
And how old were you?
Oh shit, 89. I was 20, 21, but I don't think we started. It was more 93. When that thing at the Cedar Cultural Center happened with the Headshots and all that. But as far as like feel you on a making music on a cassette tapes, because I would do stop start mixes for to make breakdance stuff or whatever back in the day. But Sadiq used to work for Best Buy.
Okay.
And he was pretty much seeing how everything worked as far as how music was coming in, how music was selling. And so he got real smart. He's just a smart businessman. And he quit his job to do this full time. So we started flyering. We were going out. We'd be out until like 4 o'clock in the morning flyering for shows. We'd be doing shows. And then we got this place called the Mighty Fine Cafe. And we did shows there weekly. But we, you know, we'd literally even go up to some of the high schools and post up on some of the poles and stuff like that, the electric posts, and put big flyers on there. Come see us at the Mighty Fine. And then we started getting out of town. Now imagine, we got all this equipment. we're in an Astro van, and we're doing road trips like Chicago, Milwaukee. Nice. I mean, literally, you know, arm up over here on your head, with the, you know, the box laying on you or whatever.
Don't stop too quickly.
It wasn't a comfortable ride, but we did it. We did a lot of shows like that, and I'd say about after Overcast came out, we had went out to Chicago and dropped a bunch of product over at these different mom and pops, and we started making noise. And when we came back, we did a show, and people were singing our songs with us, and I was like, whoa. Wow. Like they knew every word to the songs, and we were just like, whoa.
That's nice.
Felt like we were gaining some ground. We did a lot of shows at First Avenue, downtown Minneapolis, 7th Street Entry in the main room. We took over a night there, and we're doing weekly shows in the main room. That was really fun. There were other groups that came in, you know, outside of our umbrella. It was just dope times. It was really fun.
So what was it like recording that album, and what kind of led up to the decision to drop an album versus just kind of rapping together, freestyling or messing around? What led to the decision to say, you know, we're going to make this album? And how was that process like? Did you record in a home studio? Did you have friends that already had a setup? Did you, you know, was it the Best Buy Intel that you're kind of like seeing, all right, this is what people are using to purchase for like audio engineering? Kind of walk us through some of that.
Well, let's go back. So the A&T Ant, he was making the beats for the crew. He had a studio down in his basement. And so we would go over there on, I believe it was like Sundays, every Sunday, he'd have beats for people to come and rap over. And so we would go over there, lay down tracks. And basically we started off making the Headshots mixtapes. And then once we moved on and we came out with Beyond's album, Musab, it just made sense to kind of keep going. We were trying to build this record label and just keep things moving. Basically, Overcast came out. Like we had some of those songs were already like 4 years old by the time we released it. But yeah, I don't know.
It always sticks in my head. It's always such a catchy line, and I resonate with this as well personally, just from, you know, girls I've dated. Complicated maze, disgrace makes you perfect. Always switching up, never stay the same person. Like I love it encapsulates so much in that in those lines. It says the whole.
It's a true story. It's a true story. It was this girl that I was just crazy over. That whole story is basically true. She came back into my life 3 times. Like I really had it bad for this chick. Mm-hmm. and then finally after the last time I was like, I gotta, you know sometimes you write stuff down and get it off your chest. Well,
yeah,
therapy came out. And I felt better after that.
Did she ever listen to it? Do you think she ever heard it?
Later on, we had got together and went on a couple of dates, whatever. And I had told her, yeah, that, did you know that song was about you? And she was like, anyway. And then she started listening to it. And I was cracking up. And she was just like, oh, God. Because all the little hints that I put in, like, I used to call her Scribblehead all the time, Scribblehead Talia or whatever. Our songs were like like it's our anniversary from Tony. You know, just mm-hmm. like just naming stuff that only she would know, mm-hmm. but people could relate to that because it's a true story. I always felt like if you're writing from the heart, people are going to feel you.
Definitely.
Most people have trouble writing songs because they're too busy trying to figure out what sounds dope to say. Mm. When it's coming from you, when it's coming from your heart, it's already dope. You know what I'm saying? Because, oh, I get that. I can feel that. I can relate to that. I went through the same shit. You know, it's just things like that, that I don't know, like the song about my pops. That's also a true story. And that one, I shed a lot of tears writing. It took me a long time. Well, it took me a real long time to get over it. Him passing. I was 11 when he passed away.
Man, that's great.
And, he was on his way to pick me up. Man, but
I lost my father at 10, so that's definitely resonates in terms of losing somebody that important to you so young. It impacts you forever. That's intense. And I couldn't even fathom trying to write a song about it because I'm trying to figure it out in my head, you know, understanding right. my mind around it, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll ever get to that resolution point just because it happened so young. You know, it'll be like
right.
one of those things where you have to just cope with. So, no, that's mm-hmm. that's serious, man. So what I like to bring up is, you know, we were doing some research and stuff like that. I see you you switched it up. You started going by a different pseudonym a bit after, you know, your state with the atmosphere. You know, not so much talking about the breakup itself or you leaving the group, but, you know, how was that?
I did after I left, there was, you know, there was some beef between us and, you know, now, you know, we're all good now and stuff. We squashed all that. We were young. Life was different then. A lot of things have changed. But to answer your question, yeah, I went under the name Wreck the Heavyweight for two projects. The first one was 2001, it was called The Present, and the second one was called Timeless. Now, The Present came out like right around the time my mom passed away. And I was kind of in an angry zone at that point. It's kind of self-destructive even. But yeah, I got through that.
If you don't mind me asking, because this is definitely, and if you don't want to answer, that's completely fine. But this is one of those things that I always wondered, because again, this is part of my coming of age, right? This is part of me getting into hip hop. You know, I grew up living on the streets myself, and you know, high school is one of those neutral grounds, despite everything else and the chaos in my life, where I could go and have some semblance of normalcy. And it was a different kind of high school. It was for kids that were, you know, in tough situations. And so you could do stuff like play music in the classroom and stuff like that, because it was self-directed learning for a lot of it. And so hearing your music at that point in time, you know, like I said, it was very influential. And so one of the things that I was wondering since my 20s, and I'm in my 30s now, is like what led to that breakup and after Overcast? And, you know, if you don't mind sharing some of that.
I mean, to be really honest with you, that's like close to 25 years ago. So a lot of that, I don't quite recall, but there were differences. There were, like I said, we were young, we were in a different place. All of us were. I feel like in a lot of ways, I was a little left out of things. And as far as my part and my side of the story, I was being left out of shows and stuff like that, or not told about them. There was just different things being said. It's like, that's what I mean. It's like so far back that, yeah, I mean, it doesn't even matter anymore to me because we're all in a better place.
You guys watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a
show in like 2017 or something like that.
We have been talking before all that and stuff, and for a long time I didn't get paid my royalties, and I did the show with them for the Rhymesayers 20 at the Target Center, and that was that was like a blast. It just brought back all the memories. I stepped out on stage, the crowd just lost their mind. It was crazy to see us both together because we hadn't performed together in 20 years. And after that show, Sadiq hit me up and told me to come down to the office. So I went down and talked to him. We worked everything out and he was like, I want you to get your due for the work you did and blah, blah, blah. And so that was really nice. And it came at a great time for me.
That's beautiful.
And so,
what year was that?
I want to say shortly after, it was like between 2017, 2018.
Okay.
And flash forward to 2019, I did sound set with Slug for the Atmosphere 20 of the Overcast album. That was super dope too.
Was this a tour?
I think he went on tour. I just did it here.
In Minneapolis. Okay.
Yeah, we didn't really talk much about me going with him. I would have. But nah, it was cool.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in to another episode of From the Jump. Complicated man. This phrase fits you perfect. Come back in later days. Talk to me when you're certain. You're always changing. Never up. Stay the same person. Come back in later days. Talk to me when you're certain. Complicated man. This phrase fits you perfect. Come back in later days. Talk to me when you're certain. You're always changing. Never up. Stay the same person. Come back in later days. Talk to me when you miss Merryweather, the partial, the martial artist of fake imitation. Love products now facing you is irritation. When you used to have me placing you on pedestals like a goddess, personality changes seem to be to me. You were the oddest, soon to depart us like Red Seas by Moses. Our friendship's diseased, unfeasible, hopeless. No reasonable answers to my question of focus caused my tension. Nothing made sense when you replied with a tied tongue. Said you feared abusiveness, I never swung. Why all of these excuses, miss? What have I done? Figured I had the right kind of lady. Yeah, maybe it was fun for you, but not for me. I found it quite unamusing. You were using me as a bridge just to pass what was left behind. Playtime for dangerous minds, but why'd it have to be mine? Why'd it have to be mine?
Nah, I'm not really trying to come off abrasive, but why are you messing with my man's head? I mean, I'm spending time trying to keep his mind on rhymes and beats and hear a distraction. I mean, you got my man just shook. I mean, honestly, I guess what I'm trying to say is complicated man.
This phrase fits you perfect.
Come back in later days.
Talk to me when you're certain.
You're always changing.
Never
up.
Stay the same person.
Come back in later days.
Talk to me when you're certain.
Complicated man.
This phrase fits you perfect.
Come back in later days.
Talk to me when you're certain.
You're always changing.
Never
up.
Stay the same person.
Come back in later days.
Talk to me when you're certain.
Virgin, torn from sleep, this? The newborn, and see, it was easy to get too deep. The water was lukewarm. Virgin, torn from sleep, the newborn, and it was easy to get too deep. The water was lukewarm.
Do you know what today is? It's the third anniversary. You came back to flirt with me. For certain, you must mistake me for a fool. See, I know how you are. I see those tricks in you. Tried to make amends. There's something new. Had problems with your friends, so it's me you always run to. Come to and smell the coffee. No, drink the pot with extra caffeine, cause next to acting, you win awards for cloudy vision. Tired of fishing for the what, why, and when. Will this repetition end? Step away and give me oxygen. Not interested in talking, say nothing. Keep walking, go about your way. See, the colors of these areas have started turning gray. See you later, good night. Got no more candles to light. Yo, it's time to move along, cause baby, something isn't right. Still, I'm glad I met you. It's too bad you screwed it up. The only thing that I regret is that I didn't get to
complicated man.
This phrase fits you perfect.
Come back in later days.
Talk to me when you're certain.
You're always changing.
Never
up.
Stay the same person.
Come back in later days.
Talk to me when you're certain.
Complicated man.
This phrase fits you perfect.
Come back in later days.
Talk to me when you're certain.
You're always changing.
Never
up.
Stay the same person.
Come back in later days.
Talk to me when you're certain.
I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see.